Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Chris Cherniak. Good morning, Chris. Thanks
Hi,
for sitting
Lynn.
In while John's on assignment. Cybersecurity is a hot topic these days, and for good reason. Our guests joining us now in the studio from Nexus IT tell us that people have never had more of their lives and personal information tied into technology. And we all know this, but without cybersecurity, that technology becomes a vulnerability and a liability. Companies and individuals that become victims of cybercrime are negatively impacted by reputation loss, downtime, and data rebuild costs. Earl Foote is the owner, founder of Nexus IT. Travis Gunn is also joining us in the studio. Welcome, guys. It's nice to have you.
Thank you so much. Good morning, guys.
Thanks
Good morning to
us.
The KPCW listeners.
Yes. Well, you've been in town for how long?
We are celebrating our 20th year in business this year.
And you've just sort of recently opened Nexus IT on the Wasatch Front, is that right, in Salt Lake?
Correct. In the last couple of years, we've established an office in Salt Lake and in Provo.
Okay. So before we came on air, we were talking about some of the recent things that we've noticed in our inboxes, especially in our workplaces. In my two workplaces, I have noticed more well, I wouldn't say well-written, but they're getting better. They're getting more crafty, these emails that are being sent to you that are trying to get you to open a link that has been posted. And I'm assuming most of those links will send us into some sort of ransomware. Is that right?
Correct. Those are generally referred to as phishing or spear phishing attempts. And you're absolutely right, Lynn. We are seeing that they are becoming far more crafty, and they're written better than they used to be written. Sometimes they're still not perfect, but they are written well enough that they are duping a lot of people into clicking links or responding with information that they shouldn't. And yes, when you click on one of those links, you're generally going to get infected with a malware. Most often a ransomware. Sometimes it might be a link that asks you for information. You know, they might be posing as your bank, and they want to, you know, gather your bank information. And then oftentimes we're seeing lately that spear phishing attempts are mimicking an important figure within a company, such as the CEO, the CFO, and they are asking other individuals within the company to wire money, and it's happening here in Park City. We've seen companies here in Park City fall victim to these spear phishing attempts where they've been asked to wire money supposedly by a CEO to a vendor supposedly, but what they're really doing is wiring money to a hacker. And so oftentimes we think that, you know, we hear these topics on national news and we think that it doesn't apply to us, but the reality is we're seeing it happen right here in Park City to small businesses and medium-sized businesses right here.
And just because it has a FedEx logo or the CEO's name included doesn't mean that that's who it is.
Right. And so this whole thing is going to ultimately take us a lot more time and effort. Well, first of all, it takes education of your employees. And then, you know, I guess that you would suggest that if you have a doubt, if it seems like a strange request, you're going to call up the CEO or you're going to, you know, and say, hey, do you really want this me to wire money or give all of this information? And you talk about the companies, the small companies in Park City that this happens to. But, you know, on a was it Uber that you were talking about?
Correct.
So tell us that story, because I think we envision these large companies, especially that are really tech savvy and have come to success based on technology. You would think they would never fall prey to this. What happened at Uber?
Very good. To reiterate, perhaps, Lynn, the human factor now in infections and in breaches is responsible for 98% of all infections or breaches. And so educating your employees is extremely, extremely important, making them aware of what is out there. And there are really fantastic online modules that can make it really easy and really affordable to do that. But in the case of Uber, it's been probably a year and a half ago The HR department at Uber received an email from the supposed CEO that requested all W-2 records for all Uber employees, including all their drivers worldwide, including social security numbers. And the HR department, believed it. They exported everything into an Excel file and sent it off to the supposed CEO. It was actually a hacker, and they had sent all contact information for all Uber employees, including all Uber drivers worldwide, including their social security numbers, to a hacker instead of sending it to the CEO. And so you do have to be extremely careful when you're receiving emails, and especially things that seem sensitive, you know, when they involve money, when they involve contact information and things like that. Absolutely get on the phone, call that person, confirm that they're asking for information.
It seems, though, that when I get some of these messages, that just within the from line, it might say, John Smith, CEO, Uber, but then lots of times in parentheses, there's an additional email address or additional information that kind of, at least to me, smart, that kind of gives it away that it's some other individual with a suffix that just tells me, no, this isn't legitimate. Am I seeing something there?
You're absolutely right, Chris. And so we often do cybersecurity awareness educational events. And in that, one of the things we teach is the anatomy of a malicious email and how to recognize the telltale signs that it's not a legitimate email. And that is specifically one of the most common telltale signs, is that while the title of the person or the name might match who you're expecting to receive the email from,
right,
the actual email address is generally not that email. Now, it's not entirely true all the time, because an email address can be spoofed, so it can appear to come from the right email address, or sometimes the CEO's email account simply gets hacked, and they actually will send an email from the CEO's account.
Right.
So really, the ideal way to do this, if you've got accounts with, FedEx or with your bank, it's better to, if you're getting an email that says, hey, we need you to process XYZ or do this, or it's better to go to the source. If you've got, an account, log in, check there, call them. Don't click on a link hoping that it takes you there, because that's where the trouble starts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these companies are not going to make their initial communication to you this way legitimately.
Right. So what are the FedEx ones? I haven't seen those.
Oh, they're so prevalent. It's FedEx, UPS, DHL, and generic courier, service emails that say, we were unable to deliver your package. Please click on this link to reschedule delivery or something to that effect, right? And we see hundreds and hundreds of those every day, literally. And mm-hmm. so they're really common, and a lot of people fall prey to them. In fact, some of our clients about a year ago asked us to do a little phishing study with their staff and their teams. And so we sent out from a generic courier service about 3,800 emails similar to that, saying, we've got your package, we couldn't deliver it, please click on this link to reschedule. And we purposefully crafted the email so it wasn't super professional. We made it look a little fishy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 14% of the people that received that email clicked on the link. If it had not been us, they would have been hacked. 14% out of 3,800 here locally,
wow,
clicked on that link.
And that link just
took... That's hundreds and hundreds of
yes.
people who clicked.
Okay. That link took them to our website, basically. They just said, hey, good thing this wasn't real.
Did you say, hey, dummy? No, just kidding. Just
maybe.
Kidding.
I'm sorry, but you obviously explained to them what they did and what they should do in the future.
Exactly.
To be more mindful.
Precisely.
What they're mindlessly clicking on.
One of the emails that we get here a lot at KPCW is people looking for work, supposedly.
Yeah.
And here is the link to my resume. But it's very obvious, because it's not sent with any kind of cover letter or even decent greeting that you would ever,
right,
be inspired to actually, see if this is a viable employee, because it's not impressive the way. But I would assume that they're getting better and better at those. So in that case, you might just hit reply and say, please copy and paste your resume into the body of the email, and then we'll consider it or something, if it's something that you actually think may be real.
Yeah, correct. And I mean, first off, if you're receiving something like that and the presentation of somebody supposedly sending your resume is not very professional, mm-hmm. probably just delete it. You probably don't want to talk to the person anyways, right?
Exactly.
You probably don't want to see their resume anyways. But certainly, and we're seeing all sorts of spam and phishing attempts coming from all sorts of sources. You know, this morning I had several in my junk email box that were supposed LinkedIn connections, right? Mm-hmm. People, you know, asking me to connect with them on LinkedIn, but when you actually looked at the links in the email, they went to a different website. That's another key to know about the anatomy of a malicious email. If you see the link, hover over that link with your mouse, and it will pop up the true link, right? So they can spoof a link that says www.linkedin.com, but when you hover over it, you'll see the true link that it takes you to, right? And when you see that, if it's not the right website, then you know, most certainly don't click on it, because it'll probably infect you with something. But even with that, as Travis mentioned, and just to reiterate, if you receive an email from your bank or LinkedIn or something that you think is legitimate, don't click on the link in the email. Just go to your browser, go to www.linkedin.com or www.wellsfargo.com, and then log in and take a look, right? Don't click on the link in the email just in case it's potentially malicious.
Exactly. We get a lot of solicitations for interviews and things like that. So we got something for Cool Science Radio the other day that was the verbiage in it seemed exactly like a scam. It was like, this is really exciting! ! Mm-hmm. But then the signature was from someone in some department at the University of Utah. So I thought, well, maybe it is real. And so instead of clicking on the link, I did just that. I went to the, I went into my browser and I didn't paste the link, but I just went to the website, and then certainly it was real. So
oftentimes they seem to be, making attempts to use, outrageously, great grammar and all these things. When they figure out how to speak proper English, we might have more of a challenge in our hands.
Exactly.
But right now they go a bit overboard.
Well, here, in the interest of help educate others, here's my embarrassing moment.
Uh-oh.
Where I did get duped. My machine got a message from Microsoft that looked pretty legitimate, very legitimate. And it gave me an 800 number to call because my system had locked up, right? You have a virus and you need to call us immediately to fix this. And I couldn't do anything. So I did. I called the number, right? Okay, it's an 800. It's a phone call. Let's see what happens. And I got hooked up with someone in some call center in Mumbai, I'm sure, because it was a woman with a very professional, very mannerly, knowledgeable, and she talked me through. She says, all right, these are the things we're going to do with you, Mr. Cherniak. Follow along with me, and I will help you through this system. And she talked me,
I just need your credit card number.
No, it got to the, here's where I hung up. But we spent almost 30 minutes helping me through settings, reset this, reset that, which I'm sure was all subterfuge, because ultimately she did ask me not for a credit card number. She said I needed to go purchase gift cards.
Oh, really?
And do you have a Walmart in your area? You need to go and purchase some. I'm trying to remember what gift cards, and I need $200 worth of gift cards, and then you need to come back and call me at this number and give me these gift cards.
Microsoft is hurting for gift cards. They really are.
I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And then she says, well, then we're stuck.
Yeah,
we're stuck, and your computer is stuck until you do this. And I hung up, and I said, "Well, we're done." And I hung up, and then
call Nexus IT then?
No, I didn't know about it. I went to my friend who's well versed in this, and he helped.
Got you disinfected.
Disinfected and everything. Yeah. He says, "That's a classic. That's a classic." Goes to a call center, and they want gift cards or something like that.
It literally happened to my mom last week.
Okay.
And she texted me and said, I got this message on my computer. What should I do? And I said, Mom, shut your computer off right now. It's already hacked. You're already infected. shut it off now. Do not turn it back on until I can get there and, you know, grab
so
your
computer.
So that's
the first thing to do. Yeah. You just got to shut
it off.
Yeah,
because generally speaking, once you have something like that, they can already access your system and they can steal your data. You know, they can go start looking at your email and looking for bank account information and things like that. And so if you think that you are infected or hacked, shut your computer off immediately and call a professional.
Does disconnecting my Wi-Fi matter? Or is it too late?
No,
that?
I mean, as long as you shut the computer off, all you know. Right.
That disconnects.
Yeah.
The damage is done. Now it's just to stop it from growing.
The other thing that's important for people to know is that in the situation that you went through, Chris, organized crime now utilizes cybercrime as a way to make money, right? The yesteryear of breaking knees of, you know, mafias, mm-hmm. that, you know, that you know,
extortion,
that, yeah, extortion and things like that are not as prevalent. And now organized crime, especially internationally, uses cybercrime mechanisms to make money. And what you experienced, Chris, is just that. It's a company. And Interpol are, you know, constantly looking for these types of companies and breaking them up. But it is a company. It's organized. Yeah. You're calling an actual call center where, yep. you know, you're being scammed.
This woman was otherwise professional in every way. And I got agitated a few times. She said, calm down. It'll be okay. We're going to talk you through it. So it was very polished.
Yeah.
And that lends to that, goes back to that credibility, increasing credibility.
Yes. Yes. We're speaking with Earl Foote and Travis Gunn of Nexus IT. And we could probably sit here for the next 10 minutes, which is all we have left, to talk about these various stories. I think it is helpful for our listeners to hear these because, you know, they're going through their inboxes and going, oh, yeah, I remember when I got one of those. But let's move on to some other aspects of cybersecurity. One of the things that you wanted to talk about was GDPR, or General Data Protection Regulation, is some sort of compliance that companies are having to stand up to now. I have no idea what it is. Travis? Yeah.
Well, GDPR is something that's being regulated by the European Union, and it has to do with who has access to and stores specific data for the citizens within the European Union. Now, as we all know, especially here in our great town, there are lots of people who reside here in Park City that have residency and or ties to the European Union. And with that being said, and sorry for being sidetracked there, with that being said, the European Union had set policies on what you can and can't do with that data. And so, with that being said, if data is lost for a European Union resident, I guess is the proper way
just
to put
a citizen.
It. Then the GDPR governing board has the ability to fine you upwards of millions of dollars, even if that transaction or that data loss occurred here stateside. And so most companies, 70% of companies don't understand that this regulation is even a thing.
Yeah, and so GDPR actually goes into effect May 25th of this year, so in a couple of weeks here. If you cannot prove that you are GDPR compliant by May 25th and you expose a European Union citizen to a potential threat breach, if you lose their data, right, then you can be fined. The starting fine is $20 million or 4% of your annual revenue, whichever is greater. And so while in the United States currently we have, regulations such as PCI compliancy and HIPAA and SOX and SOC and, you know, different types mm-hmm. of compliancy regulations that a good portion of companies fall under those regulations and must ensure they're compliant, GDPR is a much wider net. And actually, it's estimated right now that it will affect up to 90% of U.S.-based businesses, and only about 30% of U.S.-based businesses right now even know about it and are taking action to try to become GDPR compliant. And so,
and it's May 3rd.
It's May 3rd, yeah. So if you have if you in any way process or store data that that belongs to a European Union citizen, even if they have dual citizenship and they live in the United States, they live in your town, right, but they're still a European Union citizen, and you expose them to a potential threat or lose their data, you could be fined. And not just the fine, but then come all the class action lawsuits and everything else behind that. And so
who's doing the fining?
The GDPR, it's its own organization. So it's a, you know, it's a sub-organization of the European Union. And so if a European Union citizen reports that, hey, my data was lost at XYZ store in Park City when I processed my credit card there, if they report it back to the European Union, to GDPR, then GDPR can investigate. If they find that you were negligent, they can fine you. And then you also, you know, that person is likely to sue you or join a class action lawsuit for damages.
Wow. But it sounds like yet another opportunity for fresh scams to be launched.
Exactly.
Using the GDPR.
There are.
Yeah. No, you're going to want to watch your inboxes very closely.
And that's why we need you guys to help explain.
Yep.
Work there. Okay.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
But it's coming May 25th.
May 25th this year. Yeah.
So in the case of, you know, Uber and all of that data that was exposed, of course, there are many European Union residents that work for Uber. You know, what would the fines have been on the order of millions and millions of dollars?
Yeah, tens of millions. I mean, well, so again, it starts at $20 million or 4% of annual revenue, whichever is greater. So in this case, they would have gone with the 4% of Uber's annual revenue, which is in the billions of dollars. And so, yes, it would have cost them tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars.
Is it really enforceable?
Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be very enforceable. It's looking like it's very real.
And the U.S. has not come up with any retaliatory measures or anything that protects us just the same?
U.S.-based businesses U.S. consumers. Not yet. I mean, there's lots of things that are in the works and that are being looked at. But as of right now, there's nothing happening on that scale in the United States at the moment.
Okay, so where do people go to learn more about GDPR?
You can go to our website, okay. www.nexusitc.net. Look at our blog and just search for GDPR. There's a lot of good articles there about it. And just search Google if you need to find some more information.
Okay.
We've just got a couple minutes left. And what else do we need to know? We've talked about a lot of things that cover, I think, you know, our general listening audience. But, you know, cybersecurity is evolving and transforming daily. It must be hard to keep up with it. But, you know, what are some new threats that we should know about and what can we do about it?
Well, the most common threats anymore are ransomware. And, you know, some of the listeners may not be familiar with that, but it's a situation where you get infected with a malware or a virus that encrypts all of your important data, all your documents, your pictures. It encrypts them and makes them inaccessible to you and then demands that you pay a ransom in Bitcoin because it's untraceable. To a hacker so that they will give you a decryption software that will decrypt the files and then make them accessible to you again. That is the most common thing that is happening right now. And just overall, we would recommend be smart about what you're doing, educate your employees and your staff, make sure that you're taking the right measures in terms of cybersecurity. And if you're, you know, if you have questions about that, by all means, get in contact with us. But you need to have good antivirus, anti-malware, anti-ransomware. You need to have a good firewall, spam filtering. There's a lot of things that you can do.
And we hear all the time, I'm too small, nobody wants my data, those types of things. Mm. Back in the olden days, quote unquote, you know, hacking attempts and these phishing attempts were done by individuals. Nowadays, it's software. And so software doesn't care who you are or what you are.
How big you are.
There was a stat put out just the other day that there are over 900 million hacking attempts a day in the state of Utah alone. So if anybody thinks
actually it's on the state of Utah, so there are 900 million hacking attempts to hack the state of Utah,
just the state of Utah alone. So the point being is they don't care what your business is, size, scope, doesn't matter. It's not a person, it's a software that's just trying to access some data that can create some value for them in some way. So nobody is vulnerable or not vulnerable.
If you can cast a wide net and get 14% of people to bite, right? it doesn't matter how big or small they are. You're going to make some money, and so that's what they're.
And 0.1% of 900 million
right.
is still hundreds of thousands.
Right. Exactly.
So volume. It's all about volume with these things. Okay.
Earl Foote, Travis Gunn of Nexus IT, thanks so much for joining us today. And for those of our listeners who want to learn more, I feel like we've just scratched the surface. It's nexusitc.net. You've got a blog. You present all of the services. And if nothing else, it's a great educational piece, and it gets us thinking about what we need to do. It's a little depressing, I have to say.
It's a little scary, but keep informed. And if you look at our blog or just simply follow us on social media, every day we have posts about how to keep yourself safe. And so that alone will help educate you. And there's hope. You don't have to fall victim.
Sounds right. great. Again, what was that figure? 98% of all security breaches are human factors. So we can eliminate a lot of those just by not clicking on links.
Paying attention.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly.
All right. Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. We'll be back to talk about dinosaurs after this.